Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's March 18th, 2013, episode 616, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the Queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. It looks like there's some people in the Northeast that would like to shoot Punxsutawney Phil the next time he comes out of his hole, because he predicted spring and they're getting another winter storm, and it's March the 18th. So we feel for all you guys in the Northeast, and yeah, if you want, we'll wind up a groundhog shoot for you.
Well, just kick him. You don't even have to shoot him. They're that small. Low to the ground, punt him like a football. Poor little thing.
Apparently he wasn't right this year because it's still storming up there in the Northeast. It's supposed to get like 6-8 inches of snow in Connecticut today.
Well, Glenn, if it's any consolation, Punxsutawney Phil was correct in his saying that spring is coming early because Phoenix, Arizona over the weekend like hit 93. So just so you know, in
it's
some
coming,
places
Jamie.
Of the world, it is hot. Yeah, it's coming.
You know, it's fortunate. Your pregnancy kind of worked out in between the hot seasons, didn't it? Because you weren't really pregnant during summer. So, and you're going to have the baby right before the heat of summer kicks in.
Yeah, I'm excited about that because basically when I have the kid, I'm going to have to stay inside a lot more in the air conditioning. So I think timing-wise, being my due date is June 5th, this worked out really well because, you know, he's going to take a nap and then I'm going to go jump in the pool. It's just win-win. I have no complaints. Except for that whole, you know, I have no complaints except for that whole, you know, birthing a baby out of my hoo-ha. Like, that part kind of bothers me. But we'll get to that when we get to it.
That only lasts, a day or two. Well, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, it's Horse Farm Highlight Day with Pat Carlin, owner of Colin de Cheval in Harmony Township, New Jersey, of all places. And next up, Leg Protection Series Part 3 with the wonderful help of Finline Global. And this time we will finish up covering what sorts of boots are available to cover your horse's legs. And the Road of the Horse wrapped up over the weekend, so Tammy Sarantz is back with us with the details. And scattered everywhere in between, like glitter on a summer camp pony, plenty of headlines, quips, and misadventures from the equinosphere.
Thank you, Jennifer. And we hope you all didn't wake up with too many hangovers, as it was a holiday yesterday, a certain drinking holiday. They estimated $255 million spent on beer for St. Paddy's Day yesterday. So we hope you're not one of those that are waking up with a hangover. My daily winnie goes out to Guy McLean, who probably is waking up with a hangover. He won the Road to the Horse. He took his second win in a row and now probably could be considered one of the world's greatest horsemen. And he has been dubbed the nickname, and you're going to love this, Jamie, the Horseman from Susan River, because apparently he lives near Susan River, so in Australia. So congratulations to him. We're going to hear a lot more about that with Tammy coming up later in the show. She'll give us a complete wrap-up of everything that happened there in Kentucky.
It's Monday.
Oops. Jeez, that button keeps catching me. Sorry. This is what I wanted. Oh, did we lose Jamie?
I'm right here. Sorry. There she is.
I'm here. So my daily winnie goes out, and I'm sure you heard about this, Glenn, because I posted it on Facebook. My daily winnie goes out to a nice officer from the United States Air Force who just recently moved to Luke Air Force Base and is a unbelievably good Samaritan. On Friday, I was driving home from going to a function on base. I was being a good little Air Force wife. And I drive into my driveway, and I realize my mailbox has been obliterated. And there's tire tracks that go from pavement to on the grass to the mailbox to back to pavement again. And I'm like, oh, my God, somebody ran over my mailbox. And you never know if it's somebody that doesn't like you, somebody that was drunk. You just have no idea. And the front part of my farm is it's kind of a busy road, so I was like, great. You know, those are expensive, and it takes forever to put them back up, blah, blah, blah. So I go into my house, and seriously, 30 seconds later, somebody knocks on my door. And I open the door, and it's a pilot who's wearing a flight suit and everything, and he's like, hey, I didn't recognize him. I didn't know him. I guess he just moved here. He said, hey, I just want to let you know that I witnessed somebody hitting your mailbox. And I was like, oh, my gosh, so you saw it? When did it happen? Apparently it happened like 30 seconds before I drove in. So I'm pretty lucky that the idiot didn't hit me as I was pulling into my driveway. So I guess this guy was coming down the side street, made a right turn onto this road, ran out into the other side of traffic, overcorrected, ran up on the front of my farm and hit my mailbox. Came literally, Glenn, probably a foot from hitting my sign from Easy Sign Online.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Actually, parts of the mailbox hit the sign, but it's actually fine. So I'm like, well, thanks for telling me. He goes, no, I followed them home. I followed them home, and he said, I followed them home. I took photos of their house, of their mailbox, of their address, and of their car. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This is for a mailbox. You know, it's not like they hit my car or something. Like, this guy was thorough enough just because they hit my mailbox. So I didn't know what to do. So I called our friend, Officer Trombi. I said, and my friend is a police officer in the neighborhood. I said, what do I do? Do I call 911? And she gave me, like, the non-emergency number to call. These two police officers came out to my house within 10 minutes. And they're like, all right, what do we got? And I said, well, somebody hit my mailbox. I said, I have a witness. I have their home address. I have their license plate number. And they were like, oh, this is good. This is good. You have never seen two police officers so excited. They had all of the information that they needed. It wasn't like they just filled out paperwork. They were going to go get somebody. They were like, listen here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to their house, and we're going to knock on the door, and we're going to tell them that they can either come back over here and pay you some money, or we're going to take them to jail. They were so excited. So I looked up online kind of what the mailbox, while they were there, what the mailbox and the mailbox little thing, and it was about $150 for the whole entire setup. So he goes over to I guess at some point, it took forever, so they must have had some problems. They end up bringing these guys back over to my house in the police car, bring them onto my driveway, make them get out of the car, and write us a check for $150. It was a police shakedown and instant justice, and I liked it. Awesome. So these guys get out of the car looking all sheepish. They're hammered, by the way. Of course, they can't bust them for being drunk because they were already home, so they could have, you know, drank while they were home. But they bring these guys out. I'm like, why didn't you stop? And he was like, we were fighting, blah. And then they're like, basically, get the girl in the
falling
house.
Falling over,
you know,
drunk.
Get the pregnant lady in the house. We got these guys. Two giant police officers shake these guys down for money. They write us a check. The officers put them back in the car and drive them home, and justice is served. How awesome is that? And all it, like, everybody treated it like it was this huge crime, and I'm thinking, this is a mailbox. But I guess they didn't have much else to do, and they were excited to go ahead and basically bust somebody open and closed case, you know?
Well, that, you know, if your husband needs a partner to fly with, he needs that new pilot guy you just met. My God, he is thorough.
Oh, my gosh, what a cool guy. So that guy actually just moved here, and he's actually also not only a fighter pilot, because they have these, he's the flight duck. So he's actually a doctor and a fighter pilot. So you want to know the brain on that guy? Holy cow.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
So he has to actually go through all of doctor school to become a real doctor, which takes like 85 years. And then he becomes a fighter pilot too?
I think usually they become a doctor first and then a fighter pilot. I have no idea, but I don't know. The guy's got to be wicked smart, and obviously it was pretty amazing the way he, like, followed them home, like, did his citizenship duty, got pictures. I mean, he got out of his car and took pictures of their house. Like, it was crazy.
This guy's going to be, you know, he's going to be one of those fighter pilots. Go ahead, Jennifer, sorry.
There's one question that is on the minds of every single listener at this moment, and you know what it is, Jamie.
Of course he was good-looking.
Is he spoken for?
Oh, is he single? I didn't get that far. I was a little freaked out, but we now are gonna be friends with him. So I'll let you guys know.
And he's thorough. I mean, he followed these people home. He took pictures. Can you imagine if he's in a battle? We definitely want him flying for us. He is going to shoot at the other planes. And if he is not convinced that they are shot down, he is going to follow them home. They're going to be landing on the runway, and he's still going to be shooting them. I mean, he's going to be in enemy territory, making sure that plane is down.
Very, very impressive guy. That's for sure. You're right. And as far as single, I don't know. Gosh, that was really stupid of me. That goes to show you that I'm, like, way married and way pregnant, is I don't even look anymore. I'm like, whatever.
Well, only you, Jamie. You do come up with the best Monday morning stories for us.
I wish I could make this stuff up, Glenn. I really do. Currently, though, I have a mailbox that's in 400 pieces. I didn't have time to go get another one. Who the hell knows where my mail is right now? So if anybody has sent me anything in the mail, it might be delayed a little bit because there's no little box for the mail person to put it in. So, oh, well.
Hey, a couple of things before we get to our first guest. We have a lot of news today, too. We're going to get to that later in the show, but a couple of housekeeping things. The Wheel of Trivia is on Wednesday. We have some new prizes, Jamie, including two different Troxel helmets. Troxel Helmets has donated some helmets for the Wheel on Wednesday, so you want to tune in if you have a chance to win your size of helmet, and a couple of nice helmets they've donated. I use one of them myself, so tune in for that on Wednesday. And also, we got a good response last Thursday. We tried something a little different, and I did a whole show where I played DJ and just played music and talked a little bit about the artists and made a show out of it last Thursday. We wanted to see what the reaction would be, to see if we want to continue doing that on one of the either Tuesday or Thursdays. And I got a good reaction. People seem to enjoy it. Matter of fact, Rhonda posted on Facebook, she said, "Like your DJ job, Glenn, the only problem is you're costing me a lot of money because I keep buying the songs." Well, that's a good thing. We're helping support artists, and they're buying songs as well, so that's good. I think that's all a win-win. So I think we're going to keep doing that. We're going one of the days, I think we're going to make it Tuesdays. We're going to call them Tune Tuesday. It's going to be Tune Tuesday. And we're just going to play some of the music that you hear here on Horses in the Morning normally. We're going to make a DJ show out of it. I'm not as good as you would be, Jamie, but I try.
If you want to call me up, you know, after the show and get some pointers.
Okay.
I'd be happy to let you know. But
I don't see the weather in the traffic. Because that's kind of tough.
I was going to say, do time and temperature of where you are, maybe hit a couple locations around the United States, like let us know if there are any big crashes going on, top news stories, celebrity gossip, Like, what is Templeton Thompson up to? What is she wearing right now? You know, those kinds of things we need to know.
I need time left to play some songs, though, because that was the idea. Make it a little different.
Nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to hear the DJ talk.
All right, let's take our first guest here. We're doing kind of a farm highlight of a farm that's in New Jersey. We met Pat Carlin over at the American Equestrian Trade Association show, and she has a business over there that kind of reminded Jennifer and I of our business when years ago when we had a little tack shop and also had a farm and a training facility. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good morning from New Jersey. I'm fine.
Well, are you sick of winter yet, Pat? You're getting another storm,
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm getting another storm today, 3 o'clock. Horses blanketed with 3 blankets, ice, snow, sleet, you name it.
You know, I started off the show by saying all of you people in the Northeast are ready to shoot pucks to Tony Phil, who said it was going to be an early spring. He apparently lied to you this year. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But, you know, New Jersey's the Garden State. In order for it to be green, which it is most of the year, we suffer through a lot of rain, sleet, and ice. But when we have 6 months of beautiful weather, there's nothing it compares to.
I hate to make you totally depressed today, but we planted our tomato plants here in Florida yesterday.
Well, I'm eating Florida strawberries already.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Strawberries are in right now.
They're here.
How do you say the name of your farm now?
Pauline des Chevaux. French for Horse Hill. Cheval is horse in French. And I named the farm that because I built it to be actually an eventing farm. And in France, in the turn of the century, I think eventing started with the French militia. And it was typically a man's sport in the Olympics until I think around the 70s, when then women entered the sport. And it's an eventing farm, is first day dressage test, second day cross country and steeplechase. The third day event is jumping in.
You don't have to explain eventing to us. We got that much.
Oh, good.
What a horse
good.
Show.
Okay, good. So the farm is in Warren County, New Jersey, Harmony Township. I overlook the Delaware River. My farm is hilly. I have a 10-acre field, which is great for cross-country. We have all sorts of jumps and things set up there. And Mindy Wyan joined us. She's an eventer. And it's great to have an eventer because an eventer can instruct in dressage and jumping and et cetera.
Now, she's been doing eventing for a long time, Mindy Wyan?
Yes. She was born and raised in Seattle. And she started riding horses at the age of 10. And her passion was so strong that she came east. And she built a business.
Wait. Hold on. Her passion was so strong, so she went east? What's wrong with eventing in the West Coast?
I think that it's much bigger. Also, she started with thoroughbreds. And, you know, New Jersey is the thoroughbred capital of the East Coast. And she started training thoroughbreds and fell in love with thoroughbreds. So she came east.
Okay.
See, Jamie, Jamie's an eventer and she lives in Phoenix.
Right.
She gets upset every time anybody says that the only eventing is on the East Coast, even though she knows that's true. But,
I don't know. I haven't been to Seattle or Phoenix.
Just because some of us have to drive 6 hours to go to a horse trial instead of driving 20 minutes to go to a horse trial doesn't mean that there's no West Coast eventing. We're trying, okay?
Right. Well, New Jersey's number one agricultural crop is horses. The training, breeding, racing, that's New Jersey isn't strawberries or tomatoes.
We have cactuses, so there.
Mindy put herself through college working on horse farms of all disciplines, and Arabian Western pleasure, saddle seat to dressage to hunter jumper. So she felt she needed to get to the East Coast to pursue her love of eventing. The only thing I can say about both of us is we're not spring chickens. So maybe back then, eventing wasn't big where she lived. In New Jersey.
The reason I called you out on that is because I am actually from the East Coast and moved to the West Coast because of my husband being in the Air Force. So I'm trying to make best the fact that I have to drive 6 hours to an event as opposed to when I lived in Kentucky or Georgia and I had them within 20 minutes of my house.
Oh, yeah.
I do understand being on the East Coast is definitely much easier for it, but at least I'm not in the snow. So there you go.
Right, exactly.
Hey, you're having another one of our friends here on the Horse Radio Network coming out to your place, Julie Goodnight, her clinic.
Oh, right. We have Julie Goodnight. She's doing a two-day event here, a clinic. It's sold out. There are spectator seats available. And that's on April 6th and April 7th. And it will be all the local community. She only takes 15 riders a day.
Right,
And we have a lot of Western riders right around us. And Western in New Jersey is secondary to English and eventing and dressage. But a lot of people in Warren County ride Western. So that's exciting. She'll be here for two days.
And now she does English too, doesn't she?
She doesn't really care.
Yeah, she doesn't really care. You can do either one in the clinic somehow.
Right.
Well, that is cool. I mean, we love Julie. She's been she's worked with us on our Horse Tip Daily Show and been on many of our other shows. And she's an excellent teacher and instructor. We've seen her do her thing. So I think that's gonna your people are really gonna like her being there.
Right.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Now, why were you at the American Equestrian Trade Association? Do you have a little tack business as well?
Yes, and feed business in Harmony. And my husband works for a company in China that manufactures equestrian helmets, among other types. So we were there. Devonair is one of the companies that my husband manufactures their helmets. And
okay.
We were there to visit our friends at Devonair and look at any new products that have come out. And, you know, my husband's always looking for new items to rep in China.
Well, very good. Well, and now, I know your website, you don't have a website for the farm, but Mindy has a website, right?
Yes. And she has her email is mindy3day@gmail.com.
And her website
that's where you can find.
And her website is mindywyan.com, so you can find out more about her over there.
Right.
And also about the farm. She has some information on the farm as well. Well, thank you for joining us, Pat. We really appreciate it.
Hey.
You have enjoy your snowy day in New Jersey.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, Jamie, let's take a break here for our commercial. And then we're going to come back with a little bit of news and the third part in our leg protection series.
All right. Am I doing the commercial?
Yes, you are.
Oh, there you go. Well, we'd like to thank so much Omega Alpha for being our Monday morning sponsor. You're right. I am supposed to do the commercial. I was waiting for the audio. Omega Alpha Equine is offering something really cool. It's an online lecture series titled the Oasis Consumer Lecture Series. And you can join Joanne Carr on Tuesday, March 19th. Now, Joanne Carr has a lot of initials after her name, and I'll read them off, but I don't really know what they mean, but that means she's way smart. RHNBA. those are two separate things, I guess. On Tuesday, March 19th, as she discusses the health benefits of natural detoxification. So learn about the benefits of organ detoxification and how this can help relieve liver diseases, respiratory ailments, digestive disorders, all while maintaining a healthy lifestyle. So please take advantage of the free teleseminars and web classrooms. They offer product training at 9 Eastern, 3:30 p.m., and also at 7 p.m. all Eastern Standard Time. Registration is easy. Call the main office toll-free. Okay, get your pencils because I'm going to tell you the phone number. 1-800-651-3255.
3172 and ask for Joanne Carr or email Joanne at jcarr@omegaalpha.ca to reserve your space or to get your classroom web address and entry code. So learn about Omega Alpha's products in the comfort of your own home, and you can also visit them online at omegaalphaequine.com. That's omegaalphaequine.com.
Hey, I looked it up. And RHN is a registered holistic nutritionalist.
Awesome.
Wonder what college you go to get that degree. A registered holistic nutritionalist. Bachelor of Arts, usually.
Bachelor of Arts. Okay, gotcha.
I don't know if that means the same thing here, but she should know about nutrition, is what it can say.
Holistic nutrition, too, the good kind.
Yep, that's right. And, of course, you know, one of the things Omega Alpha is known for is they only do all-natural products. So that fits perfectly, and they're just starting these new series, so I hope you can take advantage of those. Well, before we go on to our next segment, a couple of things in the news here, and we'll get into the racing news here in a little bit, but there's 10 fewer eventers permitted to compete at Rio in 2016 at the next Olympics. There's kind of changing things up. They want to equalize, apparently, Jamie, they want to equalize the sports as far as the equestrian sports are concerned. So eventing used to have five that would compete with one reserve. Now they're going to have four with a reserve. And the number of dressage riders will go from three to four. So they've increased the number of dressage riders, decreased the number of eventers, which means there'll be 10 less eventing riders at the next Olympics. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, who cares about dressage? Everybody goes to watch eventing.
I was not going to say that. I was going to say eventing is dressage, cross country, and I'm just kidding. I guess it is fair, you know, but yeah, it's definitely not as exciting. But you know, well, do they get to do a musical freestyle? Because those are really awesome. Or is it just yeah. like testing?
No, they get to do. I'm trying to think if they did freestyle. Yes, they did freestyle at the Olympics this year. Yeah, but they also said that they are going to keep the quota of 200 horses in place, so there won't be any more than 200 horses. They have not increased the number of countries that can come. You still have to qualify. So a lot of that's still going to stay the same. They just changed the numbers around for the different disciplines.
Well, whatever. There's more spectators for eventing, that's for sure. But they
that's
don't
true.
Care about that. It does make it a little more fair.
Now, one other thing, too, that I'm kind of partial to is any news about Lyme disease. And there is good news, and this is coming out of Cornell University. They have come up with a new test for testing Lyme disease. The problem with the previous test, it was called the SNAP4 test, and the problem with that test is it wasn't accurate. I mean, they proved over the years that it wasn't accurate. They would get false negatives. They would get people would test positive and negative when it was the other, and it would cause all kinds of extra, you know, for the ones that were testing positive that didn't really have Lyme disease, they were giving them antibiotics, and it just was pretty much a mess. Well, the people at Cornell have spent a lot of years trying to figure out a new test, and they have done that. The doctor's name was Bertina Wagner. She's an associate professor of immunology. How do you say that? Immunology.
Immunology.
Yeah, at the University Veterinary School, and they have come up with a new test. It is now being patented, and it's called the Lyme Multiplex Test, and they have done blind tests and all kinds of tests with this new protocol, and apparently it is very accurate. So they are very excited about this, and I'm very excited about it, too, because Lyme is one of those diseases that's very hard. I mean, the symptoms could be anything, so... it was very hard for doctors to get a true diagnosis of it, and this should help as it comes onto market. Plus, with this kind of test, usually you see it come to humans after. They test it on animals first, and then they'll come up with something for humans. So I'm very excited about it because the human test is only 50% accurate. It's wrong 50%
wow.
of the time. Yeah.
Wow, that's not good odds. So, well, I'm glad they're working on it. That's great. That's great. Got some horse news for you before we get to the next segment. And that is, we got a couple of horse racing stories for you. Number one, superstar awesomeness mare, Black Caviar. She is going to race again. She's going to put her unbeaten record on the line in the $400,000 William Reed Stakes. Now, this is going to happen on March 22nd in Australia at the Great Kingston Towns Mooney Valley Racecourse. So recently, did you know Black Caviar's trainer? Now, this sounds awful. Speaking of Lyme disease and all these things, her trainer, Peter Moody, was just recently hospitalized with blood poisoning. What is blood poisoning?
Now, that doesn't sound good, doesn't it?
That sounds really painful and awful.
You know, did your parents ever tell you if you ever, like, stuck yourself with a pen and the ink went in, you get blood poisoning? That used to be a big thing parents used to tell their kids so they wouldn't, write all over themselves. I wonder if that's how he got it. Stuck himself with it.
I don't think so. Maybe not. Maybe not. No. But he says that he is in fine fettle now. That's Australian for you. And is looking forward to the William Reed. He's going to wrap up her final preparations on Tuesday. He says that they are both, she's well and she's doing fast work on Tuesday. And he's going to have her right for Friday night. So we will definitely keep you up to date with that and try to get the audio for that for Monday morning.
Well,
Friday, depending on what time it is over there, I can't even keep track.
So we can continue our learning streak here on the morning show. Blood poisoning is not a medical term, but is a term usually used to refer to the presence of bacteria in the blood, and not a poisonous substance in the blood. It's something that just makes you seriously ill.
Well, you are just Cliff Clavin today, are you not?
Me and Google.
Way to go, Cliffy. If I have another question, I will ask Cliff. Okay, so my next racing story is Mind That Bird. Mind That Bird, of course, who was the 50-1 long shot winner of the Kentucky Derby. He is actually going to be, because he was the horse that came from New Mexico. They're making a movie about him, and it's called 50-1. He is going to be at the Kentucky Derby Museum for the entire spring meet. So people that go to Churchill Downs and go to the Kentucky Derby Museum are going to have the opportunity to go in and meet him. He's been living at Mark Allen's Double Eagle Ranch in New Mexico, which, by the way, apparently he is one of the most, let's see, what's a nice way to put this? He is probably the only thing besides Roswell tourists actually want to see in New Mexico, because there's really not that much else. So Mind That Bird is going to lose New Mexico is going to lose a big chunk of tourism for the entire spring meet of Churchill Downs, because people are going to go there if they really want to see him. So he's going to be there on April 15th and stay through July 4th.
Does that mean he's going to be walking around the museum? I don't remember any stalls in that museum.
Yeah, there must be some little paddock thing out there somewhere, because they really don't have space for them in the museum.
Now, we haven't seen it. They remodeled it since it got flooded out there a couple of years ago. They remodeled it, and I haven't seen it since it's been remodeled, so maybe they have changed things around a bit. It was a nice museum, fun. Very fun, actually.
Well, this is their first actual Derby winner to be on display. They have had a couple Derby runners, but not a Derby winner. Obviously, he is not that busy because he's a gelding. So
yes.
He's hanging out, and he was retired in 2010 after the Kentucky Derby. He was incredibly unsuccessful. So it's going to be a good movie. I'm excited.
Do you think he's going to end up at the Hall of Champions next? You know, if they brought him all the way to Louisville, it's not too far to Lexington, to the Kentucky Horse Park, for the Hall of Champions.
I think that it would be awesome if he ended up there, but I think that the people at Double Eagle Ranch in New Mexico enjoy the tourism that they get from Mind That Bird.
That's true. Well,
so
very
we'll
good.
See.
Well,
you're right.
We're going to have some racing news for you after in a little bit here. But first, we have to do the third part in our leg protection series brought to us by Thinline Global. We're talking about the rest of the boots that you can put on your horses. And, of course, it's going to be a four-part series. We've already done two of them. If you want to hear the last ones, the easiest way to do it is just go over to Horse Tip Daily. You'll find them over there. They're all broken out by themselves, so you can just listen to them right in a row if you missed the first two parts. But let's take a break for that, and we'll be back with more.
This is Coach Jen, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show here on the Horse Radio Network. Thanks for joining us for this third in a four-part series on leg protection for your horse, produced in cooperation with Thinline Global. In this series, with the expert help of Elaine Lockhead, we will cover all aspects of leg protection. I am joined once again by Elaine Lockhead from Thinline Global. Good afternoon, Elaine.
Good afternoon, everyone.
We've been having a great time in this series of segments about leg protection for horses. We talked about who needs it and why, and then we talked a little bit about the different types of boots available and their functions. But that list was so extensive, we are now on part two of leg types of leg protection and their functions. So this is segment number three. Folks, if you have not yet listened to number one and two, I would strongly encourage you to do so because it was fascinating. So what other types of leg protection does the modern equestrian have available, and what are they going to do for us?
Well, let's start with the simple ones. Let's talk about ankle, otherwise known as fetlock boots.
I was going to say, horses don't have ankles.
Right.
Wait a minute. I'm confused already, Elaine. You said this was going to be easy.
Right. But it's the closest thing to an ankle that they have is a fetlock. But most people actually use the word ankle boot in the United States. In Europe, they use fetlock, so it's kind of a USA thing. But ankle or fetlock boots are designed for the hind leg of the horse, and just to design to protect the part of the leg that begins just above the hoof. So you've got that little bone there, and that's where the horses tend to hit if they travel a little close behind or if they step sideways a little bit. So the ankle boot is designed just for impact protection. It only has product on the inside of the leg, so it's not designed to protect anything except the horse hitting itself. Materials it's made out of generally are hard plastics or hard rubbers and then lined with something like neoprene gel, sheepskin, or thinline. The next category of boots would be knee boots. You rarely see this boot, mostly because knee boots are very hard to keep on a horse. If anybody's ever tried to bandage a knee, they'll know what I'm talking about. And when you have a horse that's moving to try to keep a boot on that part of the horse's
leg. That's a really mobile part of a horse, isn't it?
Very mobile part of the horse. The only people who really use them are barrel racers and reiners. And they use them for, you know, when they're really doing serious spinning or, getting around an object. So you don't see those boots very often.
I have seen those. You're right. I've seen pictures of reining horses wearing those in their warm-ups. But it never occurred to me that they would hit their knees, because when they spin, they really do it with a lot of enthusiasm.
I know. Don't you love that?
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. The next category would be skid boots, and these are used by reiners. They're used on the hind legs of the horse, and everybody knows the sliding stop. We love to watch the horses do that, and the horses just get down really far where their butts are almost sitting on the ground, and as they're sliding, what's tagging the ground on their back leg? It's the back of the fetlock joint.
Oh.
And these boots really take a pounding. So it's really important if you have a good skid boot if you're going to be taking your horse through sliding stops. And one of the funny things that happened to us is people will come back to us and they'll say, my skid boot is just completely torn up. And I say, well, how's your horse's leg? Well, it's great. But fabulous. You know, you really do need to have that boot. I'm so happy it worked for you.
Yeah. Can you imagine what his leg would look like if you hadn't put that boot on?
Exactly. And one of the great things about Thinline is actually is durability. In our saddle pads, people joke around that you can park your truck on our pad and still use it the next day, and it's perfectly fine.
We're not recommending that. No, we're not recommending it. No.
Yeah, it's great for our customers, maybe not so great for Thinline because the boots and all our products tend to last so long. But let's quickly get to the sports medicine boot.
That's a big category right there.
Oh, it's a huge category, and it's one of the most exciting products for us. And the reason is, excuse me, this boot was designed about 20 years ago by Professionals Choice. And what this boot radically changed the boot world. What they designed was a boot that wraps around the horse's leg and then Velcros closed. The way that the wrap works is the wrap actually goes underneath the fetlock joint and then Velcros to itself. So it supports the bottom of the fetlock, supports all those digital flexor tendons and all the major tendons in the lower leg. And then it comes up the horse's leg and supports all the suspensory ligaments and basically supports everything on a horse's leg. In addition to that, it gives you impact protection 360 degrees around the leg. The best boot ever designed, hands down. Now, in the last decade or so, pretty much hundreds of manufacturers have been redesigning this boot. Because the original boot was made with very thick neoprene inside. So that had some issues with it because the neoprene does some things we don't want a boot to do. It overheats the horse's leg because neoprene is, of course, made for things like scuba suits. And, you know, it keeps bodies warm. We don't want to overheat our tendons. That's when we get injuries in horses. So neoprene had historically been the only thing used in these boots. And some people have tried to put gels in it and different other materials, but the things that happen to the horse's leg then, in addition to overheating, is you have weight problems. The boots tend to shift and move around, and they become too heavy, and then the horses can't move with great confidence. And these horses, we want our horses to be athletes, so we don't want to hinder them and have them feel as though they're running with a weight on their leg. Additionally, many products will actually grow fungus in them and grow bacteria in them, which is very hard to get rid of, even if you wash it. So that's not good for the horse's skin. And again, cleanliness, most of the products like neoprene tend to get dirt. The arena dirt can actually get into the neoprene because the cells are so large. So for us, this is one of the most exciting boots that we've done because we were able to line the sports medicine boot. We call this boot in our product line the Cobra boot. It kind of twists around the horse's leg. So we line it with a very thin line that is more protective for impact than triple-layer neoprene. It ventilates, so it does not keep the horses hot. And the nice thing about thin line is it ventilates laterally. So you have to have some neoprene on the outside in order to stick the Velcro. So you have to have a product on the inside that will ventilate along itself so that it comes out the top of the boot and the bottom of the boot. And that's how the heat comes out of the Cobra boot.
Oh.
And one of my personal is that I hate to see these lovely little quarter horses and Arabians and all these fine-boned horses with this great big fat boot on their legs.
That's the Popeye effect. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So with the thin line in the boot, it's so supple. It just totally molds to the horse's leg. It's so thin that, you know, when you put on a thin line sports medicine boot, it looks like it belongs there. It just looks very trim and it looks very clean. And speaking of cleaning, no dirt gets in it.
Oh, because, that's always nice.
Yeah, because of the thin line is so dense. Well, it doesn't have the open big cells like the neoprene does, so no dirt can stick to it. So once again, all you have to do is hose them off, or if you want to, you can throw them in the washing machine.
Yeah.
And nothing grows in it, so that's a wonderful thing, so our horses' skin can stay healthy. But this boot, I think we're more excited about, or at least me personally, I'm just very excited about this boot, because everybody across disciplines uses it. This is a boot for function and not for fashion. So while in the hunter-jumper world, people would never go in the ring with a boot like this because there are sort of fashion sessions, and, you know, mm-hmm. You'll find it now on people who are schooling the hunters. You'll find it, people, in the dressage arena. You find it on the driving horses. You find it on the event horses and the Western pleasure horses and the reining horses. There's not a horse I can't find this boot on. It's just an amazing product.
So help me out here, because we've covered a lot of boots in these past two segments, number two and number three now. In a brushing and or galloping boot, which is the same name, two different names for the same boot, it covers, quote, the horse's whole leg. Visually, somebody who's really not familiar with horse boots, how does a brushing or galloping boot look different, if he's looking at it on the shelf, from a sports medicine type of boot, in this case a Cobra boot? What looks different about it to somebody just seeing it sitting there on the tack room, tack shop shelf?
The sports medicine boot is going to look like it's a neoprene boot with long Velcro closures that wrap around the horse's leg. So it's more of a wrapping boot that goes back to the leg wrap kind of thought.
Ah, okay. So when you look at it, you're going to look at this and go, oh, yes, this is going to function like an old-fashioned
leg wrap. Exactly.
Leg wrap without the driver error part.
Correct. The sport boot and the brushing boot typically are made to look like leather. They may not be made of leather. Like the Finland boot is not. It looks just like leather, and it wraps around the horse's leg, and then it has a small Velcro closure. So the Velcro doesn't go all the way around. On the inside of a brushing boot or a splint boot, there will be a hard piece of rubber on the inside of the leg to protect from blunt trauma.
Aha, uh-huh. So yes, the strike plate. That's a big difference, yes.
The strike plate, right. So the Cobra boot does not have a strike plate on it. The open front jumping boot, basically it has something hard in the back where the horses are most likely to hit themselves. So brushing, galloping, sport boots are going to have some type of strike plate on it.
That's a good way for folks out there wandering through the boot section at the tack shop. Trying to, because I don't know about you, but when I go to the tack shop, I just like to pick up everything and play with it. The clerks hate me. a good way to tell what you're looking at, if you're really not familiar with them, is the sports medicine boot designed for supporting your horse's tendons and ligaments is not going to have a strike plate. That's the hard plastic or padded part on the inside edge, whereas a brushing, galloping boot will have that hard piece of strike plate in there. That's a really good pointer. I like that. And I really love the fact that they're making the sports medicine support type of boot a little bit lower profile, because it was a little bit clunky for some horses if the horse moved close, if it was fine-boned or small. We use that type of...
It was restrictive as well.
Yeah.
You have something that large, and just imagine what that boot is like when you go through water or you're working in a wet arena.
Right. Now, does the Finline Cobra boot have a similar I-don't-absorb-water factor that the other Finline products do?
Absolutely.
Handy-dandy. There we go.
Handy-dandy, yeah.
Well, tell our listeners out there where they can find out more about Finline online so they can learn more about boots and more about Finline technology.
If you go to finlineglobal.com and check out our technology pages, you will find pretty much everything you need to know there. Or you can email us off of that website or call us, because we're always here to talk to our fellow horse people and answer any questions we can.
You guys have a great help department. Thank you again, once again, Elaine. And we have one more installment coming up, folks, so stay tuned. Thank you once again to Elaine Lockhead for sharing your expertise, and thank you to Finline Global for helping us put this series together. Stay tuned for part four of the series, where we'll cover fitting issues, care of your boots, and troubleshooting troubles.
Network. Finline has offered a discount to all of our listeners here at the Horse Radio Network, and that is 12% off of anything you buy at Finline Global. When you're checking out, just use the coupon code RADIO. Use the coupon code RADIO, and you'll get 12% off. That's an exclusive offer here to the listeners at the Horse Radio Network. And thank you to Jennifer and Elaine for putting that together for us.
Yeah, so I want to know, Jennifer, did you, doing that segment, did you learn more about boots than you ever could have imagined?
I learned so much, I didn't know there was that much to learn.
Yeah, that's true.
For the first 10 minutes, I felt really stupid because I'm going, holy crap, I didn't know about that. But then by the time I got done, I went, oh, I feel really smart now.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Good job.
Well, you know, so many people, where do you learn about boots? You learn about them from your friends. You learn about them from maybe an instructor. Where do they learn about them? You know, nobody's had formal training on what boots should be used when. It's all sort of people have, you know, people use what they were taught, whether it was correct or not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like telling your farrier how to shoe your horse.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So it's good. Yeah. I think these series are real good for helping us out with actually some real facts about all of that. Stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we had a we have a why don't we do a little bit? We have a couple of minutes here. Why don't we do a little bit of a Kentucky Derby sort of Triple Crown preview? One thing is that over the weekend, do you want to do the list or do you want to do the race? What do you want to do?
Well, I thought we were going to do something. So let's see. I don't know. Whatever you want to do, boss. You want me to tell you who's coming up for the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, let's do that, and then we'll go to our song before we get Tammy
all right.
out here.
Well, all of this could change, obviously, and will about 100 times. But they've got the top 10 horses that are ranked for the Derby for kind of coming up, giving you a preview, Glenn, a preview of 10 of the horses that may be in the Derby if all goes well. They have some stakes-winning earnings. They have some graded stakes earnings. And so these are the horses. And I'm just going to read you the name. I'm going to tell you what they won and who's the trainer. And you're not going to really listen to any of that. You're just going to pick it by the name. So,
yeah,
I know
fair.
You. Okay, number one, Will Take Charge. Will Take Charge has 60 points for Derby points, has earned in non-restricted stakes earnings. I'm just going to give you the big number, $512,000, trained by Dwayne Lucas. I've Struck a Nerve, $268,000. Barrett C. Jones is the breeder, and then Keith DeSormo is the trainer. Vijack has $405,000 in earnings and is trained by Rudy Rodriguez. Orb, O-R-B. I wonder what the Jockey Club's shortest name can be. Orb, that's pretty short. $240,000 in earnings, trained by Claude R. McGahee. Verrazano, $210,000, trained by Todd Pletcher. Hear the Ghost. Hear the Ghost. $195,000 earned. Jerry Hollendorfer is the trainer. Oxbow, $316,000 in earnings. Dwayne Lucas, trained horse. Violence, $575,000. Violence, trained by Todd Pletcher. Bob Baffert, trained Flashback with $180,000 in earnings. And Golden Sense. Golden Sense, trained by Doug O'Neill with $758,000 in earnings. So impressive number for Golden Sense. I haven't heard of him. So what is your pick, Glenn?
This is a tough one because there's not anyone that, really jumps out at me like in the past years. I kind of like Orb just because, I'd like to hear the announcer saying Orb 100 times coming down the backstretch. And it kind of reminds me of sci-fi, and I like sci-fi. So I have to look up how he got the name Orb. And you're right. I don't think I've ever seen a three-letter name in a long time.
That is an awful name. I mean, that's hard to say, Orb.
Orb.
Orb. I thought you would go with I've Struck a Nerve because that's what you like to do to Jen and I is pick on us and strike a nerve with us so we get so mad at you.
I mean, exactly the same thing.
And then I liked Violence for that exact same reason.
I don't,
struck a nerve, and I want to use Violence. So
that's my least favorite name. I would hate to have a Kentucky Derby winner named Violence. I think that's just awful. So that's my least favorite name of any of a bunch. I don't like that
name.
That's
because you're afraid of it.
Yeah. Did you know the Verrazano was named after the bridge? There's a bridge in New York City. I think it goes out to, if I remember correctly, it goes from Brooklyn or up to Queens or something like that. All I remember is it's like $15 across this bridge one way. So everybody tries to avoid it and drives around. But it's the Verrazano Bridge. You go under it when you do the little boat tour of Manhattan. And the Verrazano Bridge is what this horse was named after because the owners live in New York. And he
happened
to be
going and drive around Manhattan, like in boats?
Well, yeah, you can. Yeah, we did a boat tour around Manhattan. Yeah, you can do that.
You know that if you tip over into that water, you will immediately be like acidified and like it's like
become a superhero.
Be some, yeah, you'll turn into Wolverine or something.
That is probably true. They have cleaned it up a little bit, but I don't know how much.
Can you imagine how gross that water is? I just remember the Seinfeld episode where Kramer started swimming in the Hudson River.
Yes,
and he was doing laps in it.
Yes.
Oh, God. Disgusting. And then his hair started sticking up. And, yeah, it was gross. I can't imagine. So that is your Kentucky Derby Top 10 picks right now. We will keep you up to date on that as they either add or subtract from that list.
Very good. Well, let's take a break for our song today. I thought we would bring you a little bit of somebody we don't hear from very often here, and that's Rachel Renner, Floridian, fellow Floridian, in a song, I Want to Know You. And we'll be right back after this word and the song.
Do you have a company in the horse world? Are you looking to get the word out about your products, services, or shows? At the Horse Radio Network, we understand our advertisers need to reach the equestrian consumer in the most efficient, cost-effective way possible. Internet radio shows like this one, also called podcasts, allow the flexibility and creativity to craft unique messages that stand out from the herd and reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. If you want to learn more about advertising on this show or any of our shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com, or you can call us at 859-951-2022. Our listeners are terrific, engaged, and avid horse people, the ones that you are looking for.
It's not enough.
That is Rachel Renner. I want to know you. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. Can I just ask, does anybody else think that Rachel Renner kind of has a Miley Cyrus sound?
Really?
Sometimes in there she started singing like the little lower registers. Sounds like Miley Cyrus. And I guess that's not a bad thing if you want to sound like somebody who's like worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. So
exactly.
Works out. But then I started me thinking, have you seen Miley Cyrus lately?
She looks like a freak show.
Oh, my gosh. She is a little punker. She is, like, shaved the sides of her head, dyed it blonde. She's got, like, a little almost a mohawk thing going on. She's, like, smoking and piercing parts of her body, and it's just crazy. That is what happens when you are a child star like that, I guess. Or Billy Ray's your dad, one or the other.
I think Walt Disney's probably rolling over in his grave right now, to be honest with you.
Man, these Disney kids, I don't know what goes on. What goes on with them? I mean, seriously, I can name like one or two Disney kids that came out okay, one being Justin Timberlake. What a score. Wasn't he a Disney kid? Yeah.
Out of about 1,000.
Yeah, and Christina Aguilera has turned things around. She went through a weird phase. Maybe it's a phase, Miley Cyrus. But anyway, sorry, didn't mean to get off on the tangent.
You know, who I think Miley's starting to look like is Nicki Minaj. She's going to end up looking like a Nicki Minaj after all.
Now that girl has lost it. Have you watched Idol this year, speaking of Nicki Minaj?
No.
I can't do it.
I can't either. I can't watch one show. I tried. Couldn't do it. So I gave up.
So there's some incredible singers in there, Glenn. Some incredible singers. And I just can't get past the four judges. First of all, I used to love Keith Urban. Not so much anymore. I've described why, because he married Skeletor and she, like, took over his life. So Keith Urban is on there, and he talks, and then he doesn't really sound like he knows what he's talking about. Then Nicki Minaj starts talking about waffles and biscuits and also, I don't know what she talks about. She has the weirdest, like, ways to get back. And then there's, like, Mariah Carey and Randy. It's just too much judge. Too much judge. It's too much talk, talk, talk. Not enough sing. And there's some awesome singers on there, which are getting overshadowed by the judges. I've only watched one episode, and this is my opinion, so there you go.
All right, let's go.
I can't wait for the voice. Tammy Serrant is going to join us right now. She is still at the Alltech Arena in Lexington, Kentucky. Probably a nice chilly morning there in Lexington. Tammy, how you doing?
Good. And I've got to say first that I have watched more than one episode of American Idol and ditto, sister. I cannot stand Nicki. Oh, my gosh. Seriously, step back. Step under the table or away from the table.
Okay, so listen.
Awful.
Since you came out with it, I'm going to come out with it, too. I've watched more than one. I did watch a lot at the beginning, too. And so
I love Mariah, but her clothing. I mean, who's dressing her?
I don't even know what Mariah wears because of what Nicki Minaj wears.
That's true.
It's like Halloween every day, isn't it?
It is. Poor guys in there, they're like, what did we do? What did we sign up for? Well, I got to ask you, speaking of St. Patty's Day and a hangover, do you have a Road to the Horse hangover right now?
Yes, you can probably tell by my voice.
Yes, I do.
So how was it? Tell us everything.
A long day.
It was absolutely amazing. It was sold out at the Alltech Arena. It was crazy. I can tell you that I took thousands of pictures for people who weren't lucky to watch the live webcast or be here. They can see bunches of pictures on Road to the Horse Facebook. They can also rewatch the live webcast still at horsecity.com. But, you know, I was sitting at the hotel with Vernon, my fiancé, who's the event coordinator. And I said to him, you know, I feel so blessed to even be part of something that is so great. And it is seriously one of the best horse events that there ever has been and there ever is. To see Guy McLean obviously took the title, and he had a difficult colt. I mean, the girls, Sarah and Obi, done an amazing job. And they were actually leading the first and second day after the round peg work. The guys were sitting third and fourth, so it was all cowgirls coming into the last day. So they went to the obstacle course, and Guy had a difficult bake halt. And after the obstacle course, he finished with 5 or 6 minutes to spare. And the mystery obstacle was, it was like a bridge or a deck that the horse had to jump up on top of, and he was the only one who got his colt to jump up on top of this deck. It kind of looked like pallets, but it was a sturdy kind of a platform. So he jumped up on top of that, and he recited a poem off that colt. And that colt stood there in a sold-out crowd with his head down and just let Guy recite poetry.
Wow.
So,
wow, that's incredible.
And then Guy stood up on top of his back on the platform and cracked his stock whips, and here's a colt that has only had a few hours with Guy and trusted him enough to, you know, rope off him and drag off him and go through a bridge and jumps and go over a tarp and jump on a platform. And Guy stood on him on a platform and cracked whips and recited poetry, and everyone stood at their feet. And I was taking photos for Facebook, and I put my camera down, and I had tears in my eyes along with everybody else. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't even do my job, you know. It was just, and then he said to Tootie, he said, I've got 5 minutes remaining. He took his bridle off, and he loped around the arena, cracking his whips, bridleless with his colt, and took his saddle off, and he said, I've got 5 minutes left, and I'm done. This horse is done. This horse is tired. And this horse has done a phenomenal job for me, and I thank him for that. And he put him away, and if it didn't put tears in your eyes, you didn't love horses. It was just, it was phenomenal. And every year I say, you know, we can't top this, we can't do better than this. And every year you're standing on your feet crying, watching this colt achieve a miracle, and it happens again and again every year. So it was a phenomenal event. It really was.
I am just so incredibly impressed by this. Looking at all these pictures on the Facebook page, what do you think? You know, you're a horse person, and you're watching these men and these women do things, especially this whole Guy McLean thing, with him standing on the horse, cracking whips, the horse he spent hours with. Did you glean the secret? Do you have the secret? How does he do it?
You know, the thing that is so attractive and so lovable about Guy, I think, and about Dan James, and they come to these horses and they are humble and they are quiet and they do their work. And I think that's what the crowd loves. And I think they are grateful for the time they spend with these colts. And they appreciate these colts. And I think that is what, this is not, we walk into the round pen and this is what I do to this horse, to start this horse. They walk into the round pen and they say, I am grateful to be here and I have a passion for horses and I want to leave this colt a better colt. And that's the difference, I think. We are not, this is not a recipe. This is not an instruction manual. This is a lifetime student of the horse. This is a display of a love and a craft. And I think that's what makes it so different, and that is what touches everyone's heart. It's not a car show. It is not a horse show. It is a passionate love affair, if you want to put it like that, with a horse that we get to witness. And you get Guy and you get Dan and you get Obi and Sarah to do things with horses that take your breath away, that you don't think were possible. Sarah Winters came out. She done dressage with one of her horses, and she had chaps on and a bowler hat and a jacket. And it was the best thing that you've ever seen her come out and do that. And then the lights went down, and not 10 seconds later, she came out, and that song came on. You know that song, that This Girl Is On Fire? All the lights came back on. And she came down, and she quickly had got changed, jumped on a reining horse, and ran down the arena and slid to a stop. So you had this girl that went from dressage with a double bridle, with chaps on and a bowler hat, and then slid down the arena 10 seconds later on a reining horse. I mean, it was just, it was amazing. I mean, and to see dressage come in and to see all the disciplines come in. This is not Western. This is not, you know, reining. This is a love affair with a horse. And I think that's why this event is so successful and so touching. So it was just, I knew it was going to be awesome, but it was so much just, it just exceeded my expectations. So I was really impressed.
And you've been several years, you've been almost every one of them, and it still almost just sounds like you're in awe of what you witnessed.
I am. I love it. I do. And every year I'm like, oh, my gosh, how are we going to top this? You know, what are we going to do next year? Because everyone's just like, okay, it gets better every year. And, you know, we're so excited. And you don't want to let everyone down, but somehow or another, it just does, you know. So it's just really exciting for me. And I think for me with my accent, not being able to ride, you know, for a year and a half, and you sit there and you watch these people doing what you love, and you watch these people just having these relationships with their horses that are so inspiring. I think for me it's extra touching because that's what I have a huge passion for. So and so do all the other people that are in the stands. You know, they have the same feelings I do. So, but
the way you're recovering, Tammy, you're going to be back at it in no time, and you're going to be competing there one of these days.
Oh, yeah, I was excited. This was the first time I actually wore my cowboy hat, my J.W. Brooks hat around, and was able to take photos and work and cover Facebook and all that kind of stuff for the horse. So I was really excited, Glenn. I was kind of felt like I was getting back to normal. Guy actually offered to ride my horses. He's like, well, you want to jump on one of my horses and ride after the accident? And I was like, not yet. 3 more weeks. So I had to turn down a great opportunity.
Well, now, tell us, but this was the first year that it was at the Alltech Arena at the Kentucky Horse Park. It was at a more, what I would call the previous place is a more intimate venue, not quite as open and big as the Kentucky Horse mm-hmm. Park. So how did that make a difference? What did you see as far as the feeling in the place?
I think, to put it in few words, it was a big deal. We had more seating available. We had the VIP suites available. We had a media room available. We had a vendor hall available. That's the first time we've had a vendor hall, not just around the concourse, but one that is separate, a separate hall that was sold out for vendor spots. So, I mean, it was the largest shopping experience ever. And, you know, another thing that we had a charity benefit auction to raise money for the Central Kentucky Riding the Pope, who has a program for it's called Equine Services for Heroes, and the goal was to raise $10,000 to put 10 soldiers through the program. So each clinician for the anniversary came back, and we had the big names, you know, from everyone from Road to the Horse the last 10 years, and they brought personal memorabilia like chaps and shirts and jeans and stuff like that to come back. So they auctioned them off Saturday night, and everyone was just blown away for the fact that instead of reaching our goal of $10,000, Judy Bland and Roger the Horse was able to write a check for $97,000 to the Central Kentucky Riding the Pope for the military program. So
wow.
that was from the generosity of the clinicians and the Roger the Horse fans and everyone in Kentucky that made that possible. So we went 10 times over our goal at the charity auction Saturday night, and it was just from the generosity of everybody involved. So that was phenomenal.
That's a lot. They're going to be able to put 100 soldiers through that program now.
Exactly. I mean, I would have loved to talk to that charity. And I bet they were super, super excited. But, you know, the military people came out, and they helped move panels, and they helped with the event, and it was just, you could see them at Cowboy Church Sunday morning, and it was just, they were a part of the program, and I think, that's just touching. So it was really great to be able to do something for them, but, you know, there were some really good items, Glenn, that were being auctioned off, and I wanted to bid on them, but they were a little high for me. So it was a good thing.
So obviously it'll be back at the Kentucky Horse Park next year?
Yes, yep, that's correct. You can't get tickets yet. What you can do is watch the webcast. It is the whole event is going to be repeated on horsecity.com, so you can do that. And then if you wait a little bit, we will put the DVD together, and you can purchase the DVD of the event. That will be available on roadtothehorse.com.
Well, you've for those who haven't been, like myself and Glenn, I'm sold. Glenn, we got to go next year and broadcast. It is just...
yeah, you know, this is, I'm going to get the DVD and send it to my mom.
Oh, yeah? Just something and horse people need to go to witness this. So does the winner, Guy McLean, is he guaranteed to come back next year, or is it a whole new group, or does the winner get to be rechallenged?
Yeah, that hasn't been released and actually hasn't been, confirmed. So that'll
come
be released later on. But no, what I can tell you, though, Guy McLean is actually going to purchase the horse that he won yesterday with. So, and he's going to call him mate. So Guy is going to buy the horse that he won, and he's going to put him into his team, and he's going to be part of Guy's show. So that was awesome news, from Guy and from the Sixers Ranch. So, Guy
now,
has another Road to the Horse champion.
That's awesome. So what happens to the rest of the horses, too? Are they available for sale? Are Dan, Sarah, and are we going to keep their horses? What's the deal?
I don't know if Dan and Sarah are going to keep their horses or Obie is going to keep her horses. The Wild Cards have the rest of the remuda, and the Wild Cards were a group of clinicians who got chosen to take horses from the remuda home and train them for the year. They are going to come back to Kentucky next year at 2014 and compete in a separate challenge. And the winner of that separate challenge, the Wild Card Challenge, is going to go straight into the round pen. So this size competition gave young and upcoming clinicians a chance to be part of Road to the Horse and a chance to step into the round pen with the invited clinician. So, you know, I think next year I'm already excited, and we're going to follow these wild cards all year with the progress with these horses from the remuda. So this is the first time this is going to happen. It's going to be our first wild card competition next year. So, the action for next year has already began, so it's going to be exciting.
That's cool. So somebody, before we let you go, somebody like Guy McLean, we've met him and talked to him, and I've asked him, is he going to do a DVD set? Is he going to have a Clinton Anderson-type television show on RFD? And he doesn't really, he's not the kind of guy that wants to go out and sell. He wants to go show what he can do with his horses. He wants to put on these shows and these displays. Is that still the way he's leaning, or with all this success and winning Road to the Horse 2 years in a row, do you think he's shifting to, like, let's go ahead and start teaching?
Well, and I think, we're just going to have to wait and see which way Guy goes, because Guy, all up, and you're totally correct, Guy he's an entertainer, and that's what he likes to do. He likes to entertain, and he likes to inspire. And that's a little different than, your Clinton Anderson clinician, I think, that likes to come out and says this is step 1, 2, 3, and 4. So it will be interesting to see later on, if Guy does come out with more of a cult starting deal, or it's definitely a path that he could take. So, I think that I don't know, what Guy's plans are, and I think that's just something we're going to have to wait and see. But I think it would be great for him. I think he's an amazingly talented man, and when we saw that this weekend, he's got a beautiful way with colts. And I think Joe Walters, he was actually a judge here at Road to the Horse, and I started colts with him many years ago at Lindy Birch's ranch. She's a cutting horse trainer. And he told me something. I met him in the hotel a couple of days ago, and I said to him, Joe, you might not remember me, but we started colts together about 10 years ago. And he told me something I never forgot. And he told me, to really take note of people's personalities, and people's personalities is exactly the way they work with horses and exactly the way they treat horses. And I never forgot that. And when you look at Guy McLean, that's how it works. Guy is very respectful. He's very humble and he's very modest, and that's how he treats his colts. He's very respectful and he's very humble, and he comes to them with no fight, no expectation. He just wants to work with them in harmony, and that's his personality. And that's what makes him so successful, I think, and that's the way he works. So I never forgot that when Joe Walters told me that. And I think I look at Guy, that's so true.
When he first came here, too, I met him right after he came to the United States. It was before the World Equestrian Games. And he came over here looking for a dream and a prayer. He came for the American dream is what he came for. He had done okay down in Australia. You know, he was a pretty big name down there. But when he came here, he had nothing. I mean, he had his horses. He didn't have a way to haul his horses. I mean, he didn't have a lot of money. And he came here just hoping it would all work out and that somebody would hire him here to do some shows. So, you know, he didn't come from a rich background or anything. He really did work for what he has today over the last 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I got to a conversation with someone over here, and I can't remember who it was, but we were talking about Australians and, you know, being Australian myself. I said, you know, I think with Guy and with Dan, you know, when an Australian gets here, they're extra hungry and they're extra grateful because they're here. I mean, this is someone who went above and beyond to come all the way over here to follow their dream. So you're not just meeting people who are chasing a dream. You're meeting people who passionately want it more than anything else in their life, and that's why they're here. So I think that's what makes the Australians over here that you see in the spotlight so passionate about what they do is because they're here and they made the trip and they made the travel and the distance and the journey. And I think that's why, you know, people like Guy and people like Dan are so passionate about what they do. You know, because
And I'm going to add people like Tammy, because you had that same story when you came over. Exact same story.
I did. Yes, I had a suitcase.
That's it.
it's the same story for me.
Thank you, Tammy. We appreciate you joining us and filling us in on this. What a story from the weekend, and we thank you for telling it.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, check out, I'm be posting photos all day on Rose of the Horse Facebook. DVDs, obviously it's going to take a while to create them and get them up on roseofthehorse.com, but horsecity.com is really your best bet now to rewatch the live webcast. It's still available. Definitely worth it. I mean, if you're waiting to see how it went, go ahead and purchase it because it's definitely worth the time.
Thank you,
Tammy. And when we get the DVDs, we're going to have to get those for the Wheel of Trivia for sure. So you'll have to save us some to be able to give away on the air.
They are awesome. Yes, when they come out, I'll holler at you guys and let you know.
Okay.
Thanks, perfect.
Tammy.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Of course. Tammy is the host of the Western Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network. You go to westernradioshow.com. It was very nice of her to join us, and she did sound like she had had a long emotional weekend and was ready to head home.
Yeah, but what a great experience. Oh, my gosh. And I'm looking at the Facebook page, and people, you know, usually I'm looking at the Road to the Horse Facebook page, and usually when you have women and women competing against each other and you throw horses in the middle of it, there's going to be snarky comments and negativity and just blah, you know, anybody out there has got something negative to say, it seems. There's nothing negative on this Facebook page. It's all so, everybody's comments are so supportive, and yeah, they might have a favorite, and they're like, look at his horsemanship, look at her this, look at his that. It's really impressive how little amount of negativity there is on the whole entire page. And I really appreciate that. And I appreciate the people that went to Road to the Horse and, you know, had an open mind and a respectful heart to go and sit and watch this and to be a part of it and to be educated. I think that's admirable.
Very good. Well, before we head out today, I have to throw a bone out to the Downton Abbey fans, which you haven't watched yet, have you?
What season are they on?
Three. You have three seasons to catch up on. You know, you're going to have a baby. You can get caught up after the baby comes. You can just sit down
and
do a marathon.
It'll put the baby to sleep.
We'll put you to sleep, though. Well, I wanted to say Plantation Field, which is a big event in Pennsylvania on September 20th to the 22nd, is doing a Downton Abbey theme. And this is what they're doing. The vendor village of Plantation Field will become the village of Grantham Shops. While the Victory Beer Garden will be dubbed Grantham Arms, and a new improved sponsor tent will be decorated in the English country style with all the furniture and decor available for purchase. The Saturday night sponsor and owner cocktail party will be costume optional and will be decorated that way. And get this, the tailgaters on Cross Country Day will be judged in their best use of Downton Abbey themes. So you can even decorate your tailgating section with the old English countryside, get all dressed up. But that's really cool that they're doing that. I like how they're tying in that because, you know, Downton Abbey is such a huge hit with horse people here in the United States. I think it's just terrific. I just thought it sounded like fun. So for all you Downton Abbey fans out there, Plantation Fields is on your side.
So I love period pieces, and I love Jane Austen. I have a horse named Edward Ferris. Like, I mean, I love stuff like that, so I know I'm going to love it. So this past week, Chad and I rented Anna Karenina, which is Keira Knightley, and it's I thought it was going to be kind of Anna Karenina, like some sort of Jane Austen movie. Yeah, it's not. Let me just tell you that right now. It kind of is, but it's very artsy and a little bit strange and different and a little disturbing. So if you thought you were going to watch Anna Karenina and get some Downton Abbey, let me tell you, my friends, you're not. I don't know if
well, thank you for saving us from that. If you didn't like it, we're certainly not going to like it.
Exactly. And it was one of those, like, I might have liked it if I hadn't been sitting there with Chad, who I know the entire time was going, this is total crap. And so when your partner hates the movie, you're going to hate the movie, you know? Like, well, you can't help
Chad
it.
Chad has had to suffer through some really horrific movies with you.
Oh,
he really has.
Let me tell you what time I fell asleep last night, which was about 1 o'clock in the morning because we watched Argo last night. So we watched
great.
That movie.
What a terrific movie. We watched it last night too. That's so funny that you did. We watched it
Are
last
you serious?
Night for the first time too. Love that movie.
Were you in my room? It's weird.
No, we watched it last night. It was great. We loved that movie. Fun movie.
I had to leave, though. It was too stressful for me. And when I watch a stressful movie before bed, I can't sleep. I just stay up. I'm like, I'm so tense.
You know, what's funny is Jennifer and I lived through that, obviously. You know, I was a senior in high school. And when all of that went down, the whole Iran hostage crisis and everything. And I knew the ending. And I was still stressed out to the max at the end of that movie. What a well-done movie. Very good.
Doesn't that just make you realize how much is going on that we have no idea about? The government is just crazy.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary.
But I'm glad they did that story as it was declassified and they were able to make a great movie. And Chad and I both were like, you know, Ben Affleck did not annoy us in this movie.
No, it was good. Jennifer and I thought the
really
same
good.
Thing.
Yeah.
Jennifer and
yeah.
I thought
and
the same thing.
Chad said, what happened to him? And I go, he got married and had kids. That's how it changes everybody.
Well, and they gave him a good script. I mean, that helped too.
He like produced it and everything. He directed.
I know.
He was in charge of it. It was really impressive. Really impressive. And I'm glad he won the Oscar because it was really good. So yes, Argo. Yes, Anna Karenina. No.
No.
There you go.
Dude, you really did have an Oscar night, didn't you? Well, that's it for today, and we'll be back again on Wednesday. Don't forget about the Wheel of Trivia on Wednesday. You can give us a call at 347-637-3238 on Wednesday morning around 9:05, and we'll get you in line to play. We have many winners every Wednesday, so do join us on Wednesday morning. If you've won in the past or called in the past and haven't won, you can call back again. We have no problem with that, and we'll have some more great questions for you. And don't forget, we also have two new Troxel helmets as part of the wheel, and who knows what else will come up before Wednesday. We'll let you know.
Fantastic. Everybody have a great day. Ride your horse, and don't forget spay, neuter, and geld.
And tune in tomorrow for Glenn playing DJ. Tune Tuesday.
Tune Tuesday. We got to think of a better name.
I know. It's kind of crappy.
You play two from each artist and call it Two for Tuesday.